Again, the topic is in Roth We Trust, investing tax-free with a self-directed Roth IRA. My name is Adam Bergman. I'm one of the tax attorneys at the IRA Financial Group. I've practiced in this area for over 10 years, and I've helped thousands of people use their retirement funds to make traditional as well as non-traditional investments tax-free. Today's topic is I think a really exciting topic, offers an enormous amount of tax planning opportunities for people who are serious about taking advantage of some of the advantageous tax rules to really benefit themselves when they retire and have the opportunity to have tax-free funds at the age of 60 years old. And benefit from that. So I think this is a really exciting area. This is really an investment product, a retirement product that a lot of people aren't aware of. It's enormous tax benefits. I think it's an important topic to go through. So the Roth IRA, and again, the topic of today's webinar, which is in a series of educational webinars presented by the IRA Financial Group on retirement account investments, is this in Roth We Trust, using a self-directed Roth IRA to make investments tax-free. The Roth IRA is not an old account. Retirement accounts, pretty much as we know them today, were created in the early 70s. The Roth IRA was just created in the 90s, about 16 years ago, by Senator Roth, and it was really created as a impetus to allow people and give people more of a opportunity to make retirement contributions and get excited about saving for their retirement. So the Roth IRA was born. And the beauty of the Roth IRA is that once someone hits 59 and a half and has had the Roth IRA at least 5 years, they get to pull that money out tax-free. And we'll get to the tax planning opportunities that presents, but that's an enormous benefit. If you compare that to a regular traditional IRA or a SEP IRA or a simple IRA or even a 401k, a pre-tax 401k, those are all pre-tax retirement accounts, meaning you get the tax deduction for the amount you put into that account, which of course is great because that helps you minimize your tax obligations for the year. But the downside is when you have to pull that money out, for example, when you hit 70 and a half, you have to start taking required minimum distributions, that money is subject to tax. And some people take the position that, well, I'll be earning less money at that age, so I'll probably be paying less tax, and that's a fair argument. But tax rates today are really at their historical lows, hard to believe, but 15, 20 years ago, tax rates were a lot higher. So a lot of people believe that tax rates will go high and will increase in the next 15 to 20 years because of the enormous debt this country has. There's really tax raising capacity is one of the only available opportunities the government has to raise funds. So that's probably something that will happen, and people are looking to the Roth IRA as a way to make sure that they can take full advantage of that that change in tax law and position themselves in a way when they retire that they will be able to minimize any of that negative impact on them. So with a Roth IRA, it's kind of the flip of a traditional IRA. The contributions with a traditional IRA are tax deductible. With a Roth IRA, they're after tax, meaning you do not get a tax deduction for putting money in to your Roth IRA. The benefit is down the road. That pot of gold is waiting for you. Once you hit 59 and a half and the Roth IRA has been open 5 years, you can literally pull that money out tax-free. All the income, all the appreciation. And we'll go through some examples to really show the benefits. The Roth IRA is technically only available for people who make less than $105,000 if they file single, or $167,000 if they file jointly married couples. The way around this, again, is after 2010, prior to 2010, you could not do a Roth conversion if you made more than $105,000 if you're a single filer and $167,000 if you're a multiple filer. That changed at the end of 2010. Now conversions are open to anyone, anyone who makes from Bill Gates down to anyone, you can do a Roth conversion. So the way to get around, if you do make more than 167, you file jointly, you simply just make a pre-tax IRA contribution and then convert it to a Roth. And that's one way to get a Roth contribution, even if you make more than the eligibility requirements present. The other nice thing with a Roth IRA is because it's an after-tax account, you can pull that money out anytime you want, at least a contribution amount. So this table, I think, presents nicely just the opportunities presented by a Roth IRA. Again, traditional IRA, you get the tax-deductible contribution. The Roth IRA, you don't. It's an after-tax contribution, meaning if you earn $50,000 and made a $5,000 traditional IRA contribution, you would generally pay tax on $45,000, which again, is advantageous, of course. With a Roth IRA, that's not going to be the case. You're still going to pay tax on the full $50,000, meaning it's an after-tax contribution. But once you hit 59.5, that money is there and available. All appreciation, all income is available for distributions tax-free. With a pre-tax IRA, if you take money out after 59.5, you still have to pay ordinary income tax on that, not capital gains, but ordinary income tax, which a lot of people believe will be a lot higher in the future than it is today. Today, you're looking about, depending on your income tax bracket, anywhere from 15 to 35% or so. Roth IRAs, you can pull that out tax-free. There's no required minimum distributions, so when you hit 70.5, you don't have to take distributions as you would with a pre-tax IRA. So that's another nice advantage. Again, also, if you pull money, if you do pass away, God forbid, and you leave money to a spouse, the pre-tax contribution still have to be – the pre-tax distribution, still have to be taken out, whereas with a Roth IRA, they do not – the requirement on distributions do not apply. So we talked about some of the eligibility requirements. For IRA, you need to have earned income. With a Roth IRA, there's that threshold if you're single filer, 105, joint 167. But as I mentioned, the way to get around that is you do a pre-tax IRA and convert to a Roth. Principal contribution can be withdrawn any time. With a traditional IRA, no. If you take money out before you're 59.5 with a pre-tax IRA, you got to pay tax and a 10% early distribution penalty. With a Roth IRA, if you take money out, the principal, meaning the money you put into your IRA, your Roth IRA, you can pull out any time. And let's go into that for a sec. So if you made a $5,000 Roth contribution this year on March 31st, the next day you can literally take that money out again and live off it, and there's no tax or penalty because it's an after-tax account. Whereas if you made a pre-tax traditional IRA contribution and pulled money out the next day, you'd pay tax and a 10% early distribution penalty on that amount if you're under 59.5. So that's one of the things about contributions is with a Roth, even though it's after tax, that's still there and available for distribution tax-free. So contributions are not tax-deductible with a Roth. Earnings are tax-deferred. And what that means, in fact, I would argue they're tax-free. With a pre-tax IRA, they're tax-deferred because deferred means eventually you will have to pay tax on it. The Roth IRA, it's actually tax-free because as long as you wait till you're 59.5 and the Roth IRA has been open 5 years, you can start living off that money tax-free. Tax-free gains. All income and gains attributable to Roth IRA investments are tax-free. So basically, as long as – and there's two requirements that people need to understand. Some people mistakenly believe that once you hit 59.5, you can pull anything you want out of the Roth IRA tax-free. And that's only partly true. There's a 5-year eligibility requirement, which starts ticking the minute you made your first Roth IRA contribution. So even if you have a 20 Roth IRA accounts, that 5-year clock starts when you made your first Roth IRA contribution. So a lot of people say when you hit 18, put a dollar in a Roth IRA because you're going to hit your 5 years will be satisfied by the time you hit 59.5. So even if that Roth IRA account sits with just a dollar and you eventually open 10, 15, 20 more, that 5-year window is going to start ticking. So because the five-year window is part of the requirement in order to get tax-free appreciation and distributions, it's best to obviously start that five-year window as early as possible. Now, one thing I wanted to focus on is there's a difference between principal contributions and income and appreciation. And this is something that people get confused, so I just want to spend 1 minute on it. Contributions is the money that you put into your Roth IRA, so that $5,000 if you're under 50, $6,000 if you're over 50. And those are the limitations for 2012 for a Roth IRA. $5,000 just like a pre-tax IRA, and $6,000 if you're over 50 years old. That $5,000 or $6,000 you put into your Roth IRA each year, that's the principal, meaning you can take that out anytime you want. That five-year rule, the 59.5, does not apply to the principal contribution. The five-year, 59.5-year rules only apply to appreciation and gains. So, for example, if you put in $5,000 in February 2012, and in March 2012 you needed that money for something, you can pull that out tax-free with a Roth IRA, no problem. With a pre-tax IRA, you'd have to pay 10% penalty and ordinary income tax on that because you got the benefit of a tax deduction, and the IRS wants to penalize you and get their tax money back if you took that money out before eligibility allowed you to. With a Roth IRA, that principal can always come out because it's after tax. You already pay tax on it. So the IRS has no problem with you just taking that money out and putting it in your pocket. Now, that, again, is just a principal contribution, the actual amount of money that you put in to the Roth IRA. That's, and if you can distinctly distinguish that from a gain or appreciation from the investment. So if you put in $5,000 in your Roth IRA, that's the contribution, that's the principal. But if you then bought Apple stock and that $5,000 turned to $8,000, you now have $3,000 of appreciation or gain. The initial $5,000, the contribution, again, can be pulled out any time. The next day you make the contribution, take it out as a distribution tax-free. That's principal and contribution. The appreciation, the $3,000 of gain in this example from the purchase of Apple stock with the Roth IRA, that is subject to the 59.5-year and 5-year holding requirement. It's not an or, it's an and. So both have to be satisfied. So that is important to keep in mind because some people confuse that. And because you made a Roth IRA contribution, the principal you can always pull out, but the appreciation and income has to satisfy the two thresholds of 59.5 and 5-year requirement. So because a Roth IRA, as I mentioned prior, that all income and gains are tax-free, they're not tax-deferred, meaning eventually you have to pay tax on it. As long as you hold that Roth IRA till you're 59.5 and hold it for at least 5 years, you can pull out any income and appreciation tax-free. So that has led people pretty much since the inception back in 96 to say, hey, there's a lot of great things I can do with this. Not only do I have to buy or am I eligible to buy stocks and mutual funds, but I can buy real estate, which generates rental income, which in a lot of cases is more significant than dividend income or interest income from bonds. I can buy real estate with my Roth IRA, and all that rental income I get each year, I can live off tax-free. So real estate was very exciting to people. Investing in precious metals for the appreciation, it was exciting to people with a Roth IRA. Investing in different business opportunities, people really looked into with a Roth IRA. Oil and gas partnerships. Paying no tax is better than capital gains tax. So capital gains tax is quite low now at 15%. It could raise, it could go back up to 20 or even higher in the future. But a Roth IRA is always at zero. And as tax rates increase, paying no tax and being able to not just defer money but have tax-free access to that money is invaluable. And we'll look at some of the benefits shortly. But how do you buy real estate with a Roth IRA? And really the best way of doing that is through a self-directed Roth IRA LLC with checkbook control. And that's a structure that involves the establishment of a special purpose LLC that's owned by the Roth IRA, managed by the Roth IRA holder, i.e. the IRA person, you and me, and then invested in real estate and other investments by simply writing a check or wiring the funds. The structure is usually set up in several weeks. It's IRS and tax court approved. The funds always have to go through an FDIC-insured custodian, so the funds are always protected. And the LLC really gives you the opportunity to make the investments quickly and efficiently in a tax-free manner. Checkbook control, again, is usually the best way of going about it because you have the limited liability associated with the LLC. You have that protection. The custodian fees are a lot lower because everything's happening at the LLC level, as we'll see shortly. And on top of that, things can get done a lot quicker. So we mentioned the Roth IRA, and so why do people do this? Well, again, the number one advantage of using a Roth is tax-free. It's the tax advantages. That's why you want to use a Roth IRA. We'll get to shortly about conversions. Does it make sense, and you know, is that something that you should consider? But the Roth IRA is really the last great tax shelter available. And there's been a lot of talk about this. There's actually a notice from the IRS because there has been abuse. People, whenever there's something that's attractive, there's always been abuse, and there always will be abuse. But the IRS issued a private letter notice basically for certain transactions where people try to push pre-tax into Roth. So the advantage is there. It needs to be done carefully. But what the Roth IRA does is it lets people make investments tax-free so that when they hit 59.5 and they're ready to retire and they're in their golden years, they literally can live off this money tax-free. We'll just quickly talk about how the structure works. I don't want to spend too much time on it because I really want to focus more on the tax advantages of the Roth IRA. But the self-directed IRA structure is pretty simple. Money goes from a current custodian, like a Fidelity or Schwab or Vanguard, wherever the Roth IRA currently sits. And it's moved to a passive custodian, a custodian that allows for non-traditional investments, unlike Fidelity and Schwab that will only let you use your Roth IRA to buy stocks, mutual funds. The IRS always has always allowed people to use real estate, for example, as an investment platform. It's just not offered by all institutions because Schwab doesn't make money, for example, when you buy real estate. They make money when you buy their products. So that's why a new custodian needs to be put into this mix that has a different business model and doesn't sell financial products, but just essentially charges an annual account fee, and that's their business model. That custodian, which is always FDIC-insured or associated with an FDIC-insured institution, will wire those funds to a newly established special purpose LLC, which will be owned 100% by the Roth IRA, care of this new custodian. That LLC can be opened, or the account can be opened at any local bank, Chase, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, for example, or a credit union. And then that LLC, the manager of the LLC, the IRA, Roth IRA holder, you and me, will just simply write a check or wire the funds to do the Roth IRA investment. So it's a really simple structure. The LLC is there to allow people to have checkbook control over those funds so that all investments happen below the custodian at the LLC level, which allows for efficiency and lower custodian fees. Why use a Roth to make investments? And again, the primary advantage is tax. All income and gains associated with the Roth IRA investment grow tax-free. With tax deferral, a lot of economists have said that tax deferral is, you know, the eighth great wonder of the world. After 8 years, assuming a rate of return of about 8%, you should double your money in 8 years. So imagine you can double your money in every 8 years, but when you hit 59.5, you can start pulling that money out tax-free. So instead of having a pre-tax IRA with $100,000 in it where you still have to pay ordinary income tax on the money you pull out, with a Roth IRA, you just take whatever you want tax-free. So for a couple that is in their 60s with receiving about $35,000 of Social Security combined, if they're able to pull off from their rental income on their Roth IRA properties an extra $25,000 tax free. That's like if they made almost $50,000 plus their Social Security, because everything is tax free. So, especially assuming if tax rates will increase in the future, you're looking at a huge windfall, the ability to take this money out tax free. No state tax, no federal income tax, no Social Security taken out. You literally pull the money out tax free. And that has enormous advantages. And there's a lot of super and exciting investment and tax planning opportunities that can be done. For example, you can purchase a vacation home inside or outside the U.S. with Roth funds. And once you hit 59.5, you take that entire home or the value of that home as a distribution and just move in. So a lot of my clients are doing that. There's unbelievable real estate opportunities, for example, in Arizona, Florida, Nevada. A lot of clients are saying, I'm going to get in now. I'm going to do a Roth IRA. I'm going to get in now. Or I have a Roth IRA. I'm going to buy it now at what I think is 40% under market. And in 5, 10, 15 years when I retire, I'm just going to move in tax-free. So I'm able to buy this home at discount values and move in tax-free. That's one really exciting investment opportunity coupled with the Roth IRA. You can essentially, you know, buy the precious metals and take possession of the metals tax-free once you hit 59.5. People have done that with silver and gold over the last 2 or 3 years, saw enormous built-in appreciation that they were able to live off tax-free. People that want to have precious metals close to them for whatever reason, the metals are there and could appreciate tax-free through a Roth IRA. Investing in tax deeds and then taking possession once you reach 59.5. I've had some clients being able to pick up homes literally for thousands of dollars that were worth over $100,000. Once they hit 59.5, they're able to literally walk in once they paid off all the debts and taxes and had an enormous bargain doing so. Investing in distressed property. Again, buying these properties, renting them out, getting that rental income back into the Roth IRA tax-free, and once hitting the age of 59.5, being able to live off that rental income tax-free. I have a number of clients that own 3-4 properties through their Roth IRA, each generating a net amount of about, you know, $6,000 a year. Add, you know, 3 or 4 properties, it's about $24,000 that they just literally live off without even touching the appreciation on their real estate properties. So you can imagine if you're able to get an extra $20,000, $25,000 tax-free, along with any other income you have or Social Security, that's just an enormous benefit to have when you hit, you know, 60 or 65 years old. Again, just to recognize the value, even if you assume with federal and state taxes, even if you retire, you're going to pay 20, 25, 30% in taxes, the fact that you're going to be able to pull that out, tax-free, you're going to be saving 30, 20, 30% each year on all your hard-earned money. And, you know, especially now with inflation, every penny counts, and this goes a long way. And I can't tell you how many clients have come to me and said, life is so much easier now, and we have our Social Security, we have some investments, personal investments, but with this Roth IRA, we've now been able to accumulate an extra $18,000, $20,000 a year tax-free. That's really just, you know, made our life so much easier and so much more enjoyable. So there's an enormous, enormous opportunity here. If you have a Roth IRA or you're considering converting to one or considering starting one, I ran in some numbers for clients of mine that the younger you are, the more advantageous the Roth IRA is. But I ran the numbers, someone who's 35 years old that just puts in $5,000 a year for 25 years will have almost $1 million, assuming a 7% rate of return tax-free in 30 years. I mean, it's incredible. For just $5,000 a year for 30, 35 years, so when the person hits 65, they'll have close to $1 million tax-free. So it's incredible. It's really the last tax shelter available. It's amazing more people aren't taking advantage of it, especially the younger people are. If you're in your 40s, start a Roth. Put $5,000. Put $1,000 in a year. You'll be amazed when you hit 60 years old how much money is there tax-free. And again, tax rates will go up. It's almost a guarantee. In 20 years, tax rates will be higher than they are today, and the threshold for reaching those tax rates will be even lower probably. So doing the Roth IRA, you know, certainly has a lot of exciting advantages. Some tips for making investments, and we'll touch on this when we talk about the prohibited transaction rules, but you basically want to use Roth IRA funds. You don't want to use any personal funds to make investments. Everything needs to come through the Roth IRA. Everything needs to go back into the Roth IRA. See, if you're investing in oil and gas, precious metals, real estate, everything will be named in the name of the Roth IRA LLC, and all that income and gains will go back into that Roth IRA LLC so that the tax-free characteristic of the Roth IRA is preserved and respected. Because the Roth IRA owns 100% of the LLC, and the LLC is treated as a pass-through entity for tax purposes, it's like the Roth IRA owns that real estate or that gold or that deed itself. So it's important that the characteristic of the Roth is protected and respected so that all income and gains will flow back to the Roth tax-free. The Roth IRA conversion, this is probably a topic for a webinar in itself, and it's something I want to get to at some point and really spend an hour on, but I'm going to spend some time on this because this is a topic that I get questions on daily. For the thousands of clients that the IRA Financial Group has, I probably get 50 questions a week about the Roth IRA conversion, and there's a couple reasons for it. Number one, is there's no right or wrong answer, and that sometimes makes giving people advice very difficult. What is a Roth IRA conversion? It's basically when you take a pre-tax IRA, meaning a SEP IRA, a traditional IRA, even a simple IRA, although a simple IRA has to be kept intact for at least 2 years before it can be moved, but it's taking a pre-tax IRA and converting it to an after-tax account. So before 2010, if you wanted to do a conversion, you had to have satisfied the Roth IRA characteristics or thresholds, meaning if you were a single filer, you had to make less than approximately 105, and if you were a joint filer, married, you'd have to make less than 167 combined. After 2010, those thresholds eviscerated, went away. So now anyone could do Roth conversions, meaning anyone could take a pre-tax IRA, a SEP IRA, a simple IRA, and convert that into a Roth 401k. And this is even true for a Roth, for a 401k plan, which became law in end of 2010. Same applies. You can convert a pre-tax 401k plan into a Roth 401k plan, so long as the plan allows for it. And again, I don't want to focus on 401ks now. We'll do a separate webinar on that, but that option is available as well. And pretty much the same rules apply. And there's one rule when you do a conversion. You got to pay tax. Unfortunately, you got to pay tax on the fair market value of the conversion amount. So if you are converting cash, it's quite easy to determine what fair market value is. If you're converting $1,000, you pay tax on $1,000. One important thing to mention is there's no prepayment penalties. See, if you take a distribution before you reach the age 59 and a half, you got to pay 10% early distribution penalty plus ordinary income tax on that amount. When you do a Roth conversion, there's no prepayment penalty. That doesn't exist. So you just pay ordinary income tax. So if you convert $100,000 and your tax rate's 30%, you're going to pay tax on $30,000. Now, when you do a conversion, and we'll take that example. Let's say you're converting $100,000 in cash from a pre-tax IRA to a Roth IRA. You pay whatever your income tax rate is. So the $100,000 that you're converting is added to all your other income sources, your salary, any other income you generate from investments or the like. That $100,000 on our example will be added to it. So if you have $100,000 from other sources, like a job, and $100,000 from a Roth conversion, your income tax base for the year is now $200,000. Okay, so it's aggregated together. When you pay the tax on, for example, $100,000, and assuming it's 30% tax, there's no withholding when you do the conversion. Okay, unlike if you take a distribution from a 401k plan, it's usually a 10 or 20% withholding, meaning the plan administrator would just take that money and hold it back and give it to the IRS. When you do a Roth conversion, there's no holdback, meaning if you convert 100, you get 100. There's no withholding. There's no money that is taken from that to pay the taxes. The taxes are paid when you file your return in April 15th or October 15th if you get extensions of the following year. So if you do a Roth conversion in 2012, it could be January 1, 2012, December 31, 2012, April 2012. You pay tax on April 15th, 2013 for the 2012 tax year. So you get some use of that money without paying the tax until the next year. The tax, you have to come up with some way to pay it. There's no rule to say where you can get that money from. You can get it from personal sources. You can get it from friends. You can get it from taking distributions. But you got to pay the tax on your tax return. So the advantage is you get the full amount to play with when you do the conversion. The earlier you do it in the year, the more, obviously, advantages you have with it. But you do have to pay the tax on April 15th. Now, the IRS doesn't concern themselves with how you pay it, but it needs to be paid. So, again, there's no withholding. That's for the 401k distribution. You pay tax on the fair market value. And with cash stocks, it's really easy because those fair market values are quite ascertainable. It gets a little bit more difficult when you're doing conversions with real estate or private business interests or an interest in an LLC. In that sense, you would need a formal appraiser. You need someone, an independent third party, an accountant, some type of appraiser, to put a fair market value on that value of that asset. So if it's real estate, you probably want a little bit more than a real estate agent. Because this is a conversion, meaning the IRS, the tax you pay is based off that amount, the IRS will scrutinize that. Whereas if you're just providing annual valuations to an IRA custodian for the form 5498 completion, in the case of real estate, you know, if you're not taking a distribution that year, any real estate agent valuation or the like would suffice because, again, it's just paper gains or losses. You're not taking a distribution. So if your IRA goes up a million or down a million, you know, the IRS isn't benefiting or losing. But because the conversion is a distribution event subject to tax, if you have an in-kind asset like real estate or a private business and interest, you want it appraised. Now, appraising the asset offers some advantages. A lot of people try to get a discount valuation, meaning they try to argue that their 20% or 30% interest in this company isn't really worth what the fair market value is because it's very hard to sell. And who's going to buy a 20% interest in a company that they don't control? So maybe if they paid $1,000 for it, maybe it's only worth $500 or $700 or $800. So there's certain people that look to do discount valuations. And again, why do you do discount valuations? Well, the less value you have, the less tax you pay. So I think it could merit some looking into depending on the numbers. But I would think you'd want to have at least over $500,000 in conversions to look at a discount. For example, if you have $100,000 and your taxes, let's say 30%, so it's $30,000, even if you get a discount of 30%, meaning you're paying tax on $70,000, you're paying tax on now $70,000, a 30% tax rate, $21,000 versus $30,000, it's a $9,000 saving, you got to pay the appraiser something, and the risk of being audited is probably not worth your time. But if you can save $100,000, $200,000 on a discount, that's something you may want to consider. There's not a lot of guidance from the IRS in terms of what goes into this discount. A lot of the rules come from the family limited partnership context that was quite prevalent and popular in the 90s, where people took discounts on for estate planning purposes. So it's an area that doesn't have a lot of guidance. There's not a lot of people doing it, but it is an option I just wanted to mention, and it may work for some people. So when should you do a Roth conversion? What are some of the factors to consider? Well, age. Obviously, the younger you are, the higher, more potential for deferral that's available. If you're 70 years old and you do a Roth conversion, you know, how much benefit are you getting? First of all, you're probably at a point where your opportunity for deferral is limited. You may need some of that money to live on. You may not want to wait 5 years to do that Roth. Remember, you're over 59 and a half, but you still haven't satisfied that five-year rule. So now you got to wait 5 years to tap into it. You know, the older you are, I think the less merit it has, because you really have the less of an opportunity to take advantage of the Roth benefits, which is tax-free growth. Number two, can you afford to pay the tax? I got a lot of people that say, wow, I have, you know, $80,000 in an IRA. I want to do a Roth. This investment I'm going to do is going to be extremely successful. I'd love to do in a Roth and never pay tax on it. So then I ask, can you pay the tax? And they say, no. Well, if you can't pay the tax, you know, it makes your question quite easy to answer. You can't do the Roth conversion because you got to come up with the tax money. And if the tax money is difficult to acquire, then it may not be a viable option. Now, a side track to that is you don't have to do a full conversion each year. So if you have $100,000 in a pre-tax IRA, you don't have to convert it all at one time. You can convert a dollar 1 year, $1,000 the next year, $80,000 the year after. So another way, if you're young or youngish and you're in your 30s, 40s, 50s, even early 60s, you may want to consider, and you can't pay tax because you can't afford to pay the tax bill for the entire conversion amount, you may want to divide it up and split up the conversion amount for separate years. So this way, coming up with that tax money is more palatable. The type of investments you made are important. I think if you're holding land, you know, and there's not a lot of income coming in, depending on what you're looking to do, that can determine whether you're going to do a Roth conversion or not. Is the investment risky? You know, I guess employees of Enron didn't think buying Enron stock was quite risky, but if they did with a Roth IRA, they probably wouldn't be very happy. Why? Either they used after-tax money to buy the stock, or if they did a conversion, even worse, they just paid the IRS money up front for potential gains that never were materialized or never were realized. That's the worst-case scenario. I always use Enron as the example of when you're thinking of a Roth conversion, think about that. Because, again, when people are trying to make investments, you know, everyone's positive and trying to see opportunity, but not every investment works out. And if the investment does not work out, and you just did a Roth conversion, you just paid Uncle Sam upfront money for gains that never happened or never were recognized. So what they teach you when you become a tax lawyer is that the name of the game is deferring tax. You never want to pay tax when you don't have to. Any good tax lawyer would always tell you defer tax. Well, a Roth conversion kind of flies in the face of that argument, because what you're doing is you're paying tax up front for future gains. So that has risk, and the Enron example presents a good example of the risks involved. And the inherent risk of doing a Roth conversion is that if that investment doesn't materialize, then you just struck out, basically, because you just paid Uncle Sam tax money up front for gains that you never recognized and never benefited from. So the level of risk is important. Cash flow, I think if you know what you're doing, rental property is a good example, and you know you're going to have X amount of dollars to live off based off these rental properties, even if it goes up or down the value of the property. Roth conversions are nice, because once you hit 59.5, that income is like a dividend. But probably the rate of rental income versus a dividend from a stock is much higher. So if you have good rental properties and you know what you're doing, even if your properties go up or down, that cash flow is like gold when you hit 59.5, because it's just tax-free money in your pocket. So I think the type of investments are important. If you're buying land and you're young and you expect huge appreciation, then a Roth IRA obviously is nice, because all that appreciation will be tax-free. So, you know, if you're investing in an active trader business like a gas station or restaurant, there's something called UBTI, or unrelated business taxable income. Even though you may be able to do the investment, that investment could be subject to tax. Doing a Roth IRA may not make sense because you're paying tax anyways. So that's something to consider. Obviously, the future income tax rate is important. I believe it will go up. If you look where we'll be in 20 years, I think we'll be tax rates will be higher than they are today. But again, that's just my opinion. I think everyone has their own opinion. Where will your income level be? If you feel that you'll be at a retirement age at 65, 70, you'll basically be living off Social Security and not have a lot of income, and if you don't feel income tax rates will go up considerably, then maybe a Roth conversion doesn't make sense because you're going to be paying very low income tax rates on that income, and maybe the risk of paying tax up front to Uncle Sam is really too much to bear. So I think if you expect to have very high future income tax levels when you retire, then a Roth IRA makes more sense because you're going to be paying tax at a high rate, so you might as well eliminate that if you can. So your future income level is very important. The more income you expect to have when you retire, or at least at 59 and a half, the more attractive a Roth IRA becomes. The legacy is a nice thing because Roth IRAs aren't subject to required minimum distributions. So, God forbid you pass, you can pass that Roth IRA to a spouse who can then live off that money tax-free. Whereas if they had a pre-tax IRA, that would be subject to tax. So, that's something to consider as a nice legacy, kind of like an insurance policy, which is also tax-free. A Roth IRA can be looked at as a mini insurance policy as well. You're giving tax-free money to a spouse. And overall, the things to consider, again, are age, type of investment, and your ability to pay that tax. And all that needs to be balanced with the risks of paying tax up front for potential gains. Again, nothing's guaranteed in life. A lot of my real estate clients say that rental income is close, but things change. Communities change, investments change. So anytime you're paying money up front for potential and future gains, you have to really give it some thought because you're violating, a key principle of what tax lawyers, believe in deferring tax. And it does happen on occasion that it doesn't work out for people, and at the same time, it works out very well in other cases. So it's really a fact and circumstance test. I think you got to really look at what you know, what you believe in from an investment tax standpoint, and where you'll see yourself at retirement. Again, we talked about conversion strategies, the discount for fair market value. This only works really if you're investing in like farmland, real estate, or a interest in a closely held entity. Like a real estate fund or something like that. If you have cash or stocks, you're going to be hard-pressed to get anyone to give you a good discount because cash is obviously very marketable and so are stocks. So I think you'd have a tough time getting a valuation discount if you had cash or stocks in a Roth IRA versus if you had land or a minority interest in an entity that's very hard to sell. Land's considered more difficult to sell than cash, obviously, or stocks. Same with a interest in a closely held entity that you have a minority interest in. That's obviously a lot harder to sell because you have no controlling opportunity with the entity. You're really just a minority investor. So those are the things that the appraiser would look at in determining what the valuation discount would be. Again, the advantage of the valuation discount is you pay less tax when you do the Roth conversions. Basically, spend the next few minutes talking about Roth IRA and prohibited transactions. Essentially, you can do almost anything when it comes to a Roth IRA, except essentially four things. You can't buy life insurance with a Roth IRA. You can't buy collectibles, antiques, rugs, stamps, baseball cards, diamonds, horses. There's a carve-out for precious metals, pure 99.99% gold, silver, palladium, American Eagle coins, and other coins minted by a government. S-corporation stock, because because only individuals can own shares in S-corporations. 401ks, IRAs cannot. They're deemed trusts. And any transaction involving a disqualified person. And the disqualified person is defined as a lineal descendant of the Roth IRA holder. So grandparent, parent, child, spouse, daughter-in-law, son-in-law. So you can't buy a house and live in it. You can't buy a house, rent it out to a parent, child, spouse. Can't give money to parent, child, or spouse. Can't invest in their business. And this is something I want to touch on real quickly. When I mentioned that you can move into the house at 59.5, that in the Roth IRA sense, when I say you can do that tax-free, what I'm saying is the reason that's not a prohibited transaction is because you're taking a distribution. The only difference is because it's a Roth IRA, that distribution is not subject to tax. So whereas if you did that with a pre-tax IRA, you'd pay ordinary income tax on that distribution, that taking possession of that IRA real estate asset. With a Roth IRA, if you're over 59.5 and have had that Roth IRA for 5 years, it's treated as a tax-free distribution. So that is not a prohibited transaction. It is simply a distribution. So a lot of people will ask me, well, can I just move into a house with my IRA? Why would that be prohibited? Well, or why wouldn't that be prohibited? Well, it is prohibited. That's why you have to take a distribution to do it. If you did it, if you had a pre-tax IRA, that distribution would be subject to tax and penalty if you're under 59.5. Tax if you're over 59.5. Roth IRA, as long as you have the Roth IRA at least 5 years and you're over 59.5, you can move into that house and treat it as a tax-free distribution. Some of the exceptions around disqualified person or some of the exclusions, brothers, sisters, cousins, aunts, uncles, friends, colleagues, you can do business with those people. You can invest with those people. Basically, when it comes to a prohibited transaction, a disqualified person cannot directly or indirectly benefit from a transaction. And the key word is indirect. The IRS does not allow you to use a straw person or a sham transaction to circumvent the rules. IRA Financial Group, we're attorney-owned and operated. Each client gets to work with an attorney to set up their self-directed Roth IRA structure. Even better, each client gets to work directly with an attorney. So if there's questions with respect to the establishment of the structure or once the structure has been established, the client always has an attorney to talk to make sure that everything's the investment and the structure has been set up in compliance with IRS rules. Again, my name is Adam Bergman. I can be reached directly at 800-472-0646, extension 12. It's 800-472-0646, extension 12. My email is Adam, A as in Apple, D as in David, A as in Apple, M as in Mary, B as in Bergman, at irafinancialgroup.com. So that's Adam, B as in Bergman, Adam B, at irafinancialgroup.com. We have hundreds of pages of information on our website on investing with a self-directed Roth IRA, all the rules about the Roth IRAs, comparing it to a pre-tax IRA, SEP, simple, even a 401k plan. It's all on our website. This webinar will be available to be heard at any point starting within a day after the broadcast of this webinar. So please, if you have friends or colleagues that maybe have missed this broadcast, let them know that it will be available for free at any point on our website. The Roth IRA, again, is really the last tax shelter available, the last legal tax shelter available for people. You don't need millions of dollars to do it. You can start with $100 and put it into a Roth IRA. You'll be shocked at the advantages and opportunities they present when you are retired and now have a nice sized Roth IRA that you can just pull out when you need to tax-free. Again, with tax rates expected to go up and the thresholds for those tax rates to be reduced, being able to tell your friends that, hey, I have a nice retirement portfolio that is tax-free that I can pull out anytime I want to live off, to go on vacation, to pay for grandchildren's education, to do whatever I want, including to leave to my spouse tax-free. That's an extremely valuable tool that you know, your friends and colleagues will be quite jealous when you tell them you have it. So it doesn't take a lot to get into it. You can start with a little. If you're young, in your 30s, 40s, $1,000, $2,000 a year, do that for 20 years. You'll have anywhere from $600,000 to $800,000 tax-free when you retire, you'll thank me for that. It's an incredible opportunity. I'm going to spend some time going through several questions now. If people have questions that I don't get to, my apologies. Please feel free to email me at adamb@irafinancialgroup.com for any questions. I'll do my best to get back to them. You can also email info@irafinancialgroup.com. And one of the attorneys will be able to answer your question. First question is, my wife and I have Roth IRAs. Can they be combined into one Roth IRA LLC? The answer is yes. With a LLC structure, you can do one structure and have one or more Roth IRAs as members. Each Roth IRA will own a pro rata percentage of that LLC. So if you each put in $50,000 in the Roth IRA, each of your Roth IRAs will own 50% of the LLC. That means if the LLC generates $100,000 in income each year, $50,000 will go to your Roth IRA, $50,000 will go to your spouse's Roth IRA. So that can certainly be done. Another question I have is on Roth conversions. Someone asked if it's possible to be done at different times during the year. And the answer is yes. You don't have to do it all in one day. I think if you have an investment pending, for example, if you were going to buy, I was going to say Facebook stock, but that's actually taken a drop. But let's say you were going to buy, you know, LinkedIn stock or another IPO that you expect it to go up right after the IPO, I think you want to do that Roth conversion right away before the appreciation is there, so that your fair market value for the conversion is lower. If you're buying land or real estate, which, you know, is not going to appreciate that much on a monthly or quarterly basis, then maybe you have some time during the year. But when you are making the investment, you want to at least time that conversion to happen prior to that, because the fair market value is tied to the tax you pay. So, or the tax is tied to the fair market value of the asset. So if it's an asset or investment that you see an opportunity to see immediate appreciation, do that Roth conversion right away. Have that paperwork sent in. You have until December 31 for the year to do the conversion. You only pay the tax the following year when you file the return, but you want to get that in as soon as possible if you have an investment that has what you see as immediate appreciation. Another question I have is on the five-year rule. If you have multiple accounts, do you have to keep track of that five-year rule for different accounts? The answer is no. The minute you put a dollar into a Roth IRA, that five-year clock starts ticking. So even if you put a dollar in 2000 and now in 2011 you want to do a conversion and you're 60 years old, you've already satisfied the five-year rule because that Roth IRA has been open for at least 5 years. So I always tell people, if you're young, just go to a local bank. It's free. And open a Roth IRA. Put a dollar, put $100 in there, a dollar in there. Just get that five-year clock ticking. I have another question here. It says, you mentioned about potential tax shelters and IRS scrutiny of Roth IRAs. Can you give some examples? And basically, there's a ruling, what's called a notice, which the IRS puts tax papers on notice, that there's been tax shelter type transaction, what they call listed transactions, where people have taken pre-tax IRAs and have, you know, basically played around with their accounting so as to show that more of the gains from that investment went to the Roth or the versus the pre-tax. So, for example, in an LLC context, the pre-tax IRA owned 90% of the LLC, the Roth owned 10%, and you have a profits allocation section that flips it and says 90% of the income goes to the Roth IRA, even though it only owns 10% of the investment entity. So those are the abusive things the IRS is looking at. If you're just using Roth IRAs to buy real estate, invest in businesses, and you're paying tax on the conversion if you are doing conversions, you got nothing to worry about in terms of running afoul to IRS rules. Just make sure everything goes back into the Roth IRA. Use the Roth IRA to make the investment. If you see investments with immediate appreciation potential, do that. Get that conversion paperwork in ASAP before the appreciation. This way you can tie it into a lower fair market value. Another question about RMDs, requirement of distributions for Roth IRAs. They don't exist, as I mentioned, for pre-tax IRAs. They do exist. Once you hit 70.5, the IRS presents a table each year that shows how much money you have to take into income. With a Roth IRA, since it's an after-tax account, you don't have to take RMDs. So that's another benefit of the Roth, is you can keep growing that Roth account. You can also pass it along to a spouse tax-free and don't have to worry about RMDs. I have a question here about, can a Roth IRA be rolled into a 401k? And this is something I should have touched on. You can convert a pre-tax IRA, a SEP IRA, a simple IRA, at least after 2 years, a simple IRA, but any of those pre-tax accounts can be converted into a Roth IRA. But a Roth IRA cannot be converted into or rolled into a pre-tax 401k. Even though the 401k has a Roth sub-account, which is something, a subset of the plan for Roth assets, you're still not allowed to move the Roth IRA into the 401k. That law may change at some point, but right now that's not available. So if you have a Roth IRA, once it's a Roth IRA, it's got to stay a Roth IRA. You can't move it back into a pre-tax IRA unless you haven't filed your tax return yet. Then you may be able to recharacterize your conversion or recharacterize your contribution. But once you filed your return for the year and it's a Roth IRA, you're stuck. So you can't move it into a pre-tax IRA anymore, and you can't go into a 401k, even a Roth 401k. And that's a good point. Is someone wrote a question about a recharacterizing a Roth IRA conversion. That can be done up until you file your return. So if you do the Roth conversion today, but you realize that you may not have enough tax enough money to pay your tax, then you probably may want to recharacterize that conversion and treat it as a pre-tax, and either cancel the conversion or recharacterize the contribution. Okay. I have a couple questions about taking distributions with a Roth IRA. So once you hit 59.5 and the Roth IRA has been open 5 years, that account now is a tax-free account. So you've now satisfied all eligibility requirements. You could sell the property and never pay tax. You can take it as a distribution and never pay tax. So let's give an example. Let's say you put $5,000 in a Roth IRA every year for 20 years. Now you're 60 years old, and you got $200,000 in your Roth IRA. Okay, and $100,000 of it is contributions, so $100,000 is principal, $100,000 appreciation. Well, since you're over 59.5 and you've satisfied the five-year rule because you've had a Roth IRA 20 years based off the example, you can take that, you can take a dollar or $200,000 and literally put it in your pocket as a tax-free distribution and do whatever you want with it. Now, let's say that $200,000 was tied into a piece of property. Okay, so you paid $100 for it and now it's worth $200. You can sell it for $200. Sell it for $500, sell it for $5 billion. All the income and gains from that investment will flow tax-free back into your Roth IRA. So once you hit 59.5 and have had the account open at least 5 years, You never, ever, ever have to pay tax, ever. So no matter what appreciation it happens. So, I'll mention this. A lot of people talk about Mitt Romney. He has between $25 and $100 million in a pre-tax IRA. No one knows exactly how much. A lot of it from his Bain Capital deals. He used the SEP IRA to co-invest, and he did pretty well. Now, a lot of people think he did well. He obviously made money, but imagine if he had that in a Roth IRA. Instead of having to eventually pay tax on that money, see, Mitt Romney's not in as great shape as he thinks, because when he hits 70 and a half, he has to start taking required minimum distributions. He's obviously a very wealthy guy, so he's going to be paying maximum tax rates at 70 and a half on all that income. Okay, if he had a Roth IRA, he would never have to pay tax. Now, the problem is, when he did these investments, he made too much money to convert into a Roth, so it really wasn't his fault. There was nothing he could have done. But imagine if he had the Roth IRA. Imagine if some of these founders of Facebook or LinkedIn invested some of their investments as Roth IRAs. Imagine all that appreciation tax-free. Even though a lot of that appreciation is tied into capital gains, which is 15% and may go up to 20 or higher, but paying zero is always better than 15%. So the Roth IRA is enormously provides enormous tax opportunities. It's something that everyone should consider. It may not be great for everyone, depending on their age, investment profile, and their ability to pay tax up front if it's a conversion. But everyone should at least consider making some amount of Roth contributions each year. The younger, the better. As I mentioned, if you're in your 30s, 40s, just $3,000-$4,000 a year, when you're in 30 years, can be worth almost $1 million tax-free, which is basically worth $2 or $3 million, or probably about $2 million with taxes. So it provides enormous advantages. Once you hit 59 and a half and the Roth's been open 5 years, you can do anything you want with it. You can sell it. You can move into the asset, move into the house tax-free. All the gains are tax-free. You can take $1,000 a month, $10,000 a month, all of it at one point, and use it to live off, use it to go on vacation, do whatever you want without paying tax. Again, with tax rates going to go up, presents incredible tax opportunities. That concludes the webinar for today. Again, the topic was In Roth We Trust, using a self-directed Roth IRA to make tax-free investments. My name is Adam Bergman. I'm an attorney with the IRA Financial Group. This webinar will be available at the website starting May 31, 2012. Anyone who is interested, feel free to listen. It's free. Any questions, please let me know. I do my best to get back to everyone promptly. Adam B, so A-D-A-M, B as in Bergman, at irafinancialgroup.com. You can always call us at 800-472-0646 and talk to an IRA expert. My extension is 12, so you can get me anytime you want. And you can always email info@irafinancialgroup.com if there are specific questions you want an attorney to answer. Again, thanks everyone for taking the time out of their busy day to spend with us. This is just another webinar in a series of educational presentations on retirement funds, investments. There'll be another webinar shortly, probably in the next 3 to 4 weeks, on a different topic. If anyone has suggestions for future topics for webinars, please email info@irafinancialgroup, and we'll do our best to make that happen. Thanks again, and have a great evening. Thank you.